Now, let me ask you the question that you're asked all the time about the Bach Listening Room Tour and playing different venues in the last several years. How did you come to this decision to play these venues?
Originally, it came almost by accident. I had just recorded the Bach Cello Suites for our own label, Oxengill Records, and I was looking for a venue to celebrate the release. And we were living at that time in Western Massachusetts, so I thought of a few venues there, and one of them was the Iron Horse Music Hall, which is legendary for folk music and jazz and other genres of music. They don't really play classical there too often. And I wanted to play all six Bach suites and want people to feel comfortable and be able to drink and eat, perhaps, while I play. So we approached that venue, and the response locally was just extraordinary. It really struck a nerve in the community, and they turned away dozens and dozens of people and 250-seat venue. So I wondered after that experience, and I had such a liberating time. It was the first time that I had reached such a broad array of people, just, you know, classical music lovers, but also rock and rollers who would never come to the concert hall, and they were sitting side by side, and there was an electricity in the room listening to this music as though for the first time. So I wondered if this was a need around the country, and kind of slowly played one or two more of these kinds of venues, and eventually it just took on a life of its own and an important part of my own life to kind of go between the concert hall and these more intimate venues.
Do you ever get the silence of the concert hall at your bar dates?
Oh, sometimes more, more quiet.
More so, even more.
Yeah, well, we don't have the coughing between the movements, you know. it's incredibly attentive. I mean, yesterday I just played, at noon in a kind of atrium of a building that's devoted to the sciences in University of New Hampshire. And it's a really kind of diffuse, you know, four-story building. And I'm just playing kind of in the lobby area, and people came out of their offices, professors, students, sat down or stood up around the railing and just were incredibly quiet. You know, music has the potential to really draw people in, and it amazes me how even at a rock and roll, a punk club like CBGB, people are incredibly respectful of music. They understand that this is a little different and that it requires a certain kind of engagement from the listener, that they have to kind of meet me halfway with this music. I mean, people are, particularly music lovers, whether they listen to classical music or not, they know how to listen, and there's a certain instinct involved. I guess I've just given people the benefit of the doubt going into these venues, and it's really paid off, because the idea that you just put a Bach cello suite in front of someone, no matter what age or what musical background, my sense is that on some level they're gonna engage and appreciate this, what this music has to offer.
I like what you say, that Bach wrote for people, not for the music hall. Do you think that Bach would be playing these venues if he were around today?
Well, he was back then. I mean, he certainly frequented coffee houses, and Brandenburg Concerti were premiered there, and even the room I had the good fortune two summers ago to go play in, and I'll go back next summer, I guess, where the Bach cello suites were first performed in the Hall of Mirrors in Kutten, in Prince Leopold's castle, which is actually pretty modest except for the music room. And I just had this image from the size of the room and everything that Prince Leopold and a couple of his close buddies probably were all into the music, and that's all they cared about. But I suspect that there were others that didn't really know what was going on and were dancing in the corner or chatting away, gossiping, you know, that there were other things going on in the room, that it wasn't just a musical performance. And I suspect that, well, Bach was more human than most of us, actually. I mean, his emotions were very strong, his faith very strong, and he, you know, always tried to get reimbursed for his beer on the road, and the authorities were always kind of upset about how much beer he drank. So anyway, I'm sure he enjoyed a good time too.
Do you have students now who want to do what you're doing?
I have a few students who are interested in it, and in fact, we're going out on the road together. I've started taking them. We have a new ensemble at McGill called Ucello.
Do you sometimes hear from people who think that maybe you're dumbing down the classics, you're playing crossover works, or degrading classical music, anything like that?
Well, anybody who comes to the show is kind of surprised at how serious the content is. I mean, when I went and played Living American Composers, these pieces are rarely presented in the concert hall for fear of alienating audiences. When I play a Bach cello suite, I don't take out a repeat. I mean, I play it all the way through without stop, and sometimes three or four in one night. So sometimes six, I guess. But I think in terms of the content, I don't do anything differently than I would do in a concert hall. And with this program, it's a little bit different with Goulash because there will be more of an improvisational element. But right now, I mean, when you come to a program, you're going to be hearing Kodály Duo and Kodály Solo Sonata and Ligeti Solo Sonata, Adrian Pop, and then we'll have some fun with Bartók Románya dances and Led Zeppelin, towards the end. But the content is I would call it classical.
Mm-hmm. I would call it classical on the new record too. And you collaborate though with John McLaughlin. You've mentioned DJ Olive, the turntablist. And you've played with several other pop music figures. I have to ask you before we finish. I understand that Jerry Garcia was really an extraordinary guitarist. Did you find that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of these guys are real, virtuosic, extraordinary. And for me, I just, my jaw drops when someone can improvise like that. Someone like John McLaughlin to me is just a musical hero. I mean, the way they listen, the way they can make music under any situation and come up with material right on the spot. And you know, for me as an improviser, I'm happy to have a few minutes of something that transcends the moment and over the course of an hour improvisation. For someone like John McLaughlin, I mean, that's like 99% of his material is you just want to listen to every note, and to be able to come up with that on the spot to me is extraordinary, especially coming up from the classical world where we are so connected to the score.
Matt Heimovitz. His new recording is called Goulash, featuring works of Bartók, Adrian Pop, and Led Zeppelin, and collaborations with DJ Olive and John McLaughlin. This is James Bartel.